I thought that Tracy's word was spot on as we've been going through the book of Acts and the revival that happened there. I think it's prophetic for our season and our time, as so much of history, recent months and years of church attendance down. I just talked to somebody about a large church in Lincoln, an evangelical church that's struggling to keep staff in the church. Well, you know, 2005, what drove me to do what we did was when I found out that 6% of the youth under 16 years old were in church. Six. And they chastised us for doing what we did. Well, you know what? We got a lot of kids went on the mission field as a result of that, and they're still serving God today, and we're thankful for that. But anyway, praise the Lord. So are you ready? Ready to study some more miracles? Amen. Come on, let's go. We got faith for this. We got faith to believe for this. And we prayed for a gal that was had some paresthesia in her right leg this morning in Lake Church, and we're believing that she's going to be healed before she goes to the doctor on Tuesday. Amen? She needs the power of God released in her body. And so praise the Lord. So as we've been talking about the miracles in the book of Acts, that's really cute. I like that. What was I going to say? Let's have another one, okay? All right, so we're going to look at the martyrdom of Stephen. We're going to look at the introduction of Saul into the scriptures, and then continued revival, all right? And then the conversion of Saul. But before we get to that, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. I pray that each one of us would get something out of this that we've never heard before, that each one of us would have a revelation by your Spirit, and Lord, we'd take that with us. Lord, I pray that the fire that was in the church in the book of Acts would be fire in our hearts, Lord, fire in Living Word Church, fire in Strong's Room, fire wherever we live and reside, Lord, that the fire of the Holy Ghost would be in our spirits and in our midst. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. So last week we talked a little bit about one of the most amazing miracles in the book of Acts. Very stunning when Ananias and Sapphira did not bring their whole offering to the Lord, and they both died for it. That was just amazing. And then who brought up about Peter's shadow? You did, Trace. Yeah, here it is. That's what we had about the shadow of Peter. Let's have it. Bring it on. So today, as we look at the martyrdom of Stephen in Acts chapter 7, verse 55 through 8:3, as we look at that and also the introduction of Saul. Let's read this. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, Stephen, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God. I'm going to stop right there. Stop for just a minute. What did Stephen see when he saw the glory of God? I'm sure we had people this morning that never heard some of the things that I said about the glory of God. You know, every time I see pictures of the Northern Lights, I think about God's glory. When I see the sunshine come up in the morning, I think about God's glory. When I see the heavenlies just sparkling with a bazillion stars, I think about the glory of God. And Stephen looked up into heaven, and he saw that glory. Hallelujah. Being full of the Holy Spirit. And before we even get to being gazed into heaven, being full of the Holy Ghost. How many times have we seen that? Even in the just first seven chapters about being full of the Holy Ghost. We need to be full of the Holy Ghost every day. All day. Everyone say all day. All day. Right. Okay. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine Stephen? He just saw his master, his Savior, dead on the cross, buried, and then resurrected again. Got to see him at the right hand of God. Whew. What a vision that was. Hallelujah. Standing right now, I've got verse 56. And he said, look, Look, everybody, I see the heavens open. I see the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And then cried out. Then they cried out with a loud voice. They stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. Imagine this guy, you know, Stephen's having this vision and this encounter with heaven, and the devil's got these all these other people filled with the Antichrist spirit, and here it is. And they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. Stoned him. Took these big rocks, just beat him and beat him and beat him and threw him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of the young man named Saul. 59, and they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And then he knelt down and he cried out with a loud voice. This is one of the most amazing, amazing testimonies. He said, don't charge them with this sin. Amazing. We get bumped or bruised or this or that, or somebody does something for us. Call the ambulance, you know. We cry and bawl that. Look at what Stephen did. In the midst of being stoned to death, he said, Father, do not hold this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul, first mention of Saul in Scriptures, Saul was consenting to his death, and at the time of a great persecution arose against the church which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles stayed back, verse 2. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And verse 3, as for Saul, he wreaked havoc in the church, entering a few houses. Every house, not just a few, not some, not a bunch, every house, and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. So may God add a blessing to the reading of his word, and that we might glean from these scriptures, Lord, this martyrdom that Stephen had. And I've harped on this in verse 55, being full of the Holy Ghost. Church, we need to be full of the Holy Ghost. This is an hour and a time and a season that we're in that we need to be continually filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Continually filled with the Holy Ghost. That, I'm going to just say this. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a minimum requirement to walk in a powerful Christian life. It's the minimum. Not the max, it's the minimum. We go up from there. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. And Ephesians 5 tells us not to be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. So, another thing about the martyrdom of Stephen in verses 57 and 58, I made this statement. The devil does not like believers who have encounters with heaven. Because when you have an encounter with heaven, in whatever form or shape it is, it draws you closer to heaven. Amen? Come on. When you run into an angel, it draws you closer. When you run into the power of God being released, when you're praying for somebody, it draws you closer to heaven. And the devil doesn't like that. As we saw in verse 57 and 58, I believe, or 59, wait a second, 57 and 58, sorry about that. Then the crowd cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine somebody running up to Billy Graham and holding their ears to say, stop, stop, stop preaching, and drug him out to the out of the venue that he was in and stoned him to death. Imagine that. The way it was with Stephen. Amazing. Yeah. And then the ultimate forgiveness, which I mentioned earlier about Stephen, where he said, Father, forgive him. You know, don't hold this sin against him. Yeah. And the lesson for us, we sometimes have trouble forgiving a neighbor, a person that we know, a relative, family, friend, foe, whatever, that bumps our big toe or says something a little funny against us or nips at us a little bit. We have trouble forgiving that. Really? And Stephen looked at at Jesus and said, Father, don't hold this sin against me. Yeah. Powerful, powerful. It's a choice. Remember, forgiveness is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's a choice. We choose to forgive. And I've had to walk around my house sometimes when I was in the midst of working on forgiveness, and I had to say it out loud. Father, I choose to forgive them. I forgive so-and-so. I forgive so-and-so. And I kept saying it until it was right. Sometimes we have to do that to get it right. Hallelujah. All right. How about another one? Everyone say another one. Yeah. Introduction of Saul in verses 1 through 3. Now, Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc. He just wrecked havoc with the church entering. I just got blown away as I sat there and looked at every house. When have we seen that in our lifetime? When have we seen a persecution like that? In Europe in the 30s and 40s. World War II. The Nazis went to every Jewish household. They searched and they sought relentlessly to persecute the Jews. Same spirit, same demonic spirit, same demons that were present at the stoning of Stephen were present when they were persecuting the Jews. What an awful, awful time. Awful. Yeah. Matter of fact, a side note completely off the subject. All of Europe would be speaking German if it wasn't the United States and England getting into the war. An amen, somebody? All right, let's go on. Great persecution. Yeah. You know, Saul was initially an angry, raging, prideful, murdering lunatic. I couldn't come up with any other adjectives for him. But that's what he was. See, it doesn't matter what you were. It matters who you are today. I know who I used to be, and I don't want to be who I used to be. I want to be who I am today. Amen? Yeah, come on. We want to be stronger each and every day. Praise God. So that's the introduction of Saul. Number three, everyone say another one. We're going to look at chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Story about Philip. Then Philip went down into the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitude, with one accord, heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, demons, were crying out with a loud voice, came out of many who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. Hallelujah. That, my friends, is the mark of revival. That is the mark of revival. Hallelujah. And not the only mark. And there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. You know, I'm just going to make this comment because religion doesn't like people to have an encounter with heaven. Religious people will always fight encounters. Okay? So backing up just a tiny bit, I have in the notes of the book, Heaven is for Real. That was Pastor Todd Burpo from Imperial, Nebraska. As a matter of fact, Mitch preached at their church years ago. But anyway, I heard an evangelical pastor saying, we don't need books like that. We don't need stories like that. And to that, I would say, yes, we do, because they build our faith. Knowing a little boy goes to heaven, meets his sister that was miscarried, and comes back to life and tells his mom, hey, I met my sister. Why did you tell me I had a sister? Yeah, we need stories like that. What a great story. We need to be reminded of that. When God brings this stuff back to me, it's always for a reason. Oftentimes it's because I use them in a conversation with somebody that we have, haven't had contact with for a while, whatever. So, hallelujah for that. But I want to say this. Never discount someone's encounter with God if it bears good fruit. Never discount someone's encounter with God if it bears good fruit. Hallelujah. Especially when it shakes up the religious spirits. Amen? Yeah. Praise God. All right, let's have another one. Everyone say another one. This will be the last one. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. Then Saul, still breathing threats of murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. And he asked for letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, men or women, he might bring them bound up to Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near to Damascus. And suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground. And he heard this voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And then he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads." And so he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Pause. That is the best question. When we get up tomorrow morning, we should ask the Lord, "What do you want me to do?" When you get up the next day, it's a great question. "Lord, what do you want me to do today?" Or if you run into a frustration, or you run into a unforgiveness situation, etc., "Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to do?" And if we ask that with a good heart, guess what? You'll get the answer. Amen? "Lord, what do you want me to do?" I love that. Simple, isn't it? Then the Lord said to him, see, "Arise, go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." Okay? So that was step one. Sometimes the answers that God gives to us are in steps. He leads us in steps. And this was a step. Okay, go to the city. Then I'll tell you step number two. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul arose to the ground, from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither he ate or drank. All right, so put yourself in Paul's position here. 1 second, you were looking at blue chairs and light ceilings and halogen lights, and the next second, you're blind as a bat. Although bats aren't blind, per se. But anyway, you're blind. And not just for a moment, but for 3 solid days. Never been blind, all of a sudden you're blind. I just sat and I thought, what was he thinking? What was he thinking about when he heard Jesus say what Jesus said to him? "Saul, go into the city." "What do you want me to do, Lord?" "Go into the city and wait. I'll tell you what you're going to do." And the prophetic word that was going to come. See, so when we're in that process of, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Don't belittle the little steps that you're taking, but wait. But wait from on high, as God will bring a prophetic word to us if we wait on Him. If we're just patient and wait. I just can't imagine the things that Saul thought about. Can you imagine? What would it be like to be a murderer like that and wrecking havoc with a few of the houses? Every house. He went into every house, it says, and drug men and women out and threw them in jail. They didn't have the internet in the jail then, I can tell you that. Bad. So what was he thinking? Well, he had that encounter. Let's pick it up again at verse 6, chapter 9, Larry. So he, trembling and astonished, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said to him, "Arise, go in the city, and it will be told what to do." Verse 7. And the men who journeyed with him withstood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no one. But Saul arose from the ground And when his eyes were opened, he saw no one but they that led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without his sight, and neither ate or drank. And we know what happened after that. He got saved. And he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. He got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then he went to the synagogue and he preached Christ instantly. That's what God wanted him to do. Wanted him to preach Christ. Acts chapter 9, verse 22. And then, what happened after that? But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that Jesus is the Christ. God is always about the more. The more anointing, the more word, the more miracles, the more power, the more strength. Come on, church. Let us hang on to Caleb's promise to be as strong at 85 as we were when we were 40. Let's not give that up. Let's keep going. Let's keep pushing. Come on. Our days, our best days are ahead of us. Right? What's that phrase? Better days? Whatever that is. I can't say it the way I want to say it. But anyway, so let's keep that up. Just like Paul. He had better days ahead. Hallelujah. Because he acknowledged Jesus as Lord. And so, that's the last of another one for today. And we'll have some more next week. So why don't we stand? Father, as we looked at the question, what do you want me to do, Lord? We asked that. What do you want us to do, Lord, today, tomorrow, this next week, the week after, and on? We want to do what you want us to do. So release that in the power of your Spirit to us. Lord, thank you for the book of Acts. Thank you for the encouragement that we get out of the book of Acts. God, we know that the church was birthed in a real trying time. And Lord, I just pray that there'd be greater and stronger anointing of our own personal lives in everything that we do from day to day to day. Hallelujah. So, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen.